Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fox 2 presents Hancock and Kelly.
Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2, where we take on the top issues of the week. On the right, John Hancock.
Top of the morning.
On the left, Michael Kelly.
Happy Sunday.
And I'm Andy Banker. On the agenda this morning, the rise of the write-in candidates and the fall of right-wing school board candidates in Tuesday's local elections. Democrats go all in on the abortion issue for the November elections. Can red states turn blue? Florida? Maybe Missouri, too? Israel admits fault for a bombing that killed aid workers in Gaza as a rift between President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gets wider. Also, is independent presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. fanning the flames of January 6th? It is our quote of the week. Plus, keeping up with former President Trump's courtroom battles and a big endorsement in a key Missouri congressional race, if we got time to get to that one. We begin with U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland taking note of violent crime in St. Louis and pledging to do something about it.
I want to be very clear about something. There is no acceptable level of violent crime. Too many communities are still struggling, and too many people are still scared. The hard-fought progress we saw last year can easily slip away. So we must remain focused and vigilant.
He's in Chicago. Garland announced that St. Louis, Jackson, Mississippi, and Hartford, Connecticut will be part of the Justice Department's Violent Crime Initiative, which he says has gotten great results in Houston and Memphis. The initiative brings a surge of federal law enforcement resources to target violent groups and gangs. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones says she welcomes the help, but points out the city's homicide rate has been falling. That rate, however, has continued to register among the worst in 50 years for all 3 years of her first term in St. Louis. First the Missouri legislature, now the U.S. attorney, saying loudly, John, something's got to be done about crime in St. Louis.
Well, it does. And
Attorney General of the United States.
This is a welcome development, because when you begin to amass these federal resources and federal law enforcement officials and bring them to the table in dealing with the crime, getting into the gangs. You know, we've got a very good, effective strike force operating in St. Louis County that includes all of these federal agencies. The city, not much of a participant in that. I don't understand the reason for that, but this is welcome news for the feds coming in, and it acknowledges the fact that we've got a very serious, violent crime problem in this town.
A Democrat-appointed attorney general saying, St. Louis, here comes help, but the Democrats that run the city aren't even asking for it.
That's the key question, though. This doesn't add up, right? For the past year and a half, we've been hearing from the mayor and the board of aldermen, the police chief, whenever he shows up, saying, look, things are getting better. Crime's going down in St. Louis. No. The federal government is acknowledging that the crime policies are not working in St. Louis, and we've got a long-term problem. Yes, this is a welcome development that the feds are going to come in and do the job that basic government services that should be being done by the city. I'm grateful that they're doing it, but I don't think voters should lose the fact that they've been getting lied to for about a year and a half, being told things are getting better, but even the feds are saying, no, this ain't adding up.
Well, and here's the other thing that's going on in St. Louis is they're playing, you know, games with the crime statistics. You can't get accurate crime statistics out of them. They don't categorize it by block the way they used to. A lot of the justifiable homicides, you know, where there's self-defense, are not being categorized as homicides when they're homicides. It's gang activity and related things like that. So there's a lot of smoke and a lot of mirrors going on. The reality is the crime problem is real and it's serious.
A lot of big news out of Tuesday's local elections may not have been on many people's radars, but it was certainly on ours. The St. Louis County Board of Elections reports more than 20 write-in candidates won, including in the Maplewood mayor's race.
It shows that individual people, individual voters, made a difference in this race. They went in and they actually had to write this man's name on a ballot, kind of like the old days. So I think it kind of speaks well.
Former Mayor Barry Greenberg, who considers himself a liberal, won in a landslide over current progressive mayor, Nikhilan Knapper. Turnout was 34%, pretty high for a local race. But if that speaks well, this does not. Election board workers now have to hand count handwritten votes in 20 elections because no one actually filed to run in those elections. There were no names on any of the ballots. For instance, the apparent winner in a Manchester aldermanic race had just 2 votes. No one else got more than 1. Only 8 people voted total, Michael. Manchester is no fledgling municipality.
No, but it is also symptomatic of this messed up structure of government we have in St. Louis. We don't need all these municipalities. I know people identify with them, but there's evidence right there that it doesn't work.
What about this race in Maplewood?
Yeah.
The former mayor, when he started there like 15 years ago, he wasn't mayor, but he said, I was like the only liberal voice on this City Council, Board of Aldermen, whatever. Well, and then he beats the socks off a progressive mayor because she's too far that way.
Well, and what's happened in Maplewood, which neighbors the city of St. Louis, right. It's been affected with the same progressive movement that's taking in the city. And by the way, it's pushing throughout the entire county, particularly the Central Park. What we saw this week, though, whether it be at the school boards or in local mayor's races, is voters saying, I've had enough with the extremes on both sides. The people who want to ban books and want to, decide that we ought not acknowledge that black people were oppressed in the past, thrown off of school boards. From a progressive standpoint, we're not going to do business development anymore. We're not going to give incentives to grow our communities. People have had it up to here with the extremes. I think this is a positive development. I would be nervous if I was an incumbent running for local government throughout this region right now, and I'm on one of the extremes.
We're going to get into the school board races in a moment here, but what do you think about the rise of the write-ins?
Well, if write-in candidates can win elections, maybe I ought to run for office again. Everybody can spell John Hancock. Feel free to write that in out there. it's indicative of the fact that a lot of people don't trust government, and there's a lot of people serving in local government that are out there, and that's unfortunate.
The heated school board races that Michael mentioned, especially in St. Charles County, brought more surprises, which allegedly brought a threat from a longtime member of the St. Charles County Council. A top election official accuses Councilman Joe Brazel of texting threats that election officials would end up in jail for their vote counting policies after conservative school board candidates lost key races in Wentzville, Francis Howell, and Fort Zumwalt districts, where issues from DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, also transgender students in education, the banning of sexually explicit books, those issues have been at the forefront. Brazel admitted to our partners at the Post-Dispatch that he did indeed send those text messages that were in question. Kurt Barr, the county's director of elections in St. Charles County, wrote a cease and desist letter to Brazel and demanded an apology, which Brazel says isn't going to happen. What about this, John, and the loss of conservatives in a conservative county on conservative issues?
Yeah, and look, there are cultural politics on both sides of this equation. There is an agenda on the left that's pushing a lot of things that a lot of people find offensive, and the corresponding reaction to that is a bunch of conservatives out there. It's folly to say that this is a one-sided politicization of school boards. It's happening on the left, and it's happening on the right. As to the election, I would encourage people that doubt the veracity of our elections to go take a tour of their local election board. Let them show you the safeguards that are in place. Let them show you how they have a bipartisan team that counts those ballots, that they then recount the ballots after every election to verify the results. There's a widespread and growing belief that there's widespread election fraud in the American electoral system. It does not exist, and belief that it does is harmful to the legitimacy of our government.
And all of these things are open to the public. Election board, you can take a tour.
Yes.
You can be there and watch them count.
Right. Lots to unpack here. First of all, I know Joe Brazel. I knew him when he used to be kind of just a little off. Seems to be completely gone now. Let's be clear. Joe Brazel's a Republican. Kurt Barr's a Republican.
Right,
both I know both of these folks. This is a symptomatic of this Donald Trump stuff. I didn't get my way, therefore I'm going to say it's rigged. And now you have Kurt Barr out there having to defend himself against a fellow Republican on doing his job the right way. And John's right. You can go and see it yourself. It's a nonsense argument that they have that elections are stolen. The other thing, though, that's happened here is, like I said, people are pushing back to extremes. And I don't think that spells well for Joe Brazel, because hopefully people are going to take note that this is extreme and come back at them. We're just sick of the nonsense. Educate our schools, pave our roads, pick up our trash. That's what voters want focused on. Candidates better learn this between now and November.
Well, we have this result from Kansas City. Some great interest in St. Louis, even though it doesn't impact us directly. Voters resoundingly rejected extending stadium sales taxes to fund renovations of the Kansas City Chiefs Stadium and to help build a new ballpark for the Kansas City Royals. The proposals failed 58% to 42% combined. That's pretty big. There's been speculations that the teams may leave Kansas City proper after 2030 without new stadium deals. Michael, Chiefs stars Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce did ads asking voters to pass these taxes. Didn't do much good.
No, and it's unfortunate. I think that Kansas City's made a very calculated decision here that could bite them in the, you know, the keister. I don't like the fact that we have to give money to these sports franchises. But if Stan Kroenke can go to L.A., one of the biggest cities on the planet, and get incentives, and they get incentives in New York and in Chicago to build, if you're out here in flyover country like St. Louis, like Kansas City, you have to make these investments. You may not like it, but what's more synonymous with the city of Kansas City right now than the Chiefs? And for the voters to turn their back on them, I think it's a short-sighted decision, and it could wind up biting them in the butt. Look where we're at today in St. Louis. We're out watching the Battle Hawks rather than the NFL.
Doesn't he have a, I mean, St. Louis, Cleveland, Houston, Los Angeles,
yeah.
Baltimore. I mean,
so, yes. I want to look at this more in a microscope, okay?
Yeah.
This was an April election, the lowest of turnouts. The campaign expended who knows how much money on paid advertising. This was a, should have been a grassroots campaign. You've got how many season ticket holders for those Chiefs and probably 15 or 20 to go to the Royals. And, but you worked this campaign on the ground in April. I think they made a fundamental mistake thinking they could airwave their way to a victory. It shouldn't have happened.
Up next on Hancock and Kelly, keeping up in court with Donald Trump. And President Biden gives Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu an ultimatum, with people in the U.S. now asking, whose side are we on in the Israel-Hamas war?
Or listen to the podcast. Just search for Hancock and Kelly.
Former President Donald Trump's legal odyssey continues with more key developments in the past week. Three judges ruled against his efforts to further delay or toss out criminal cases against him. In the so-called New York hush money case centered around alleged payments to a porn star after he allegedly had an extramarital affair with her, a judge ruled against his attempt to delay the trial scheduled to begin in 8 days, a week from Monday. A judge in Georgia ruled against his motion to dismiss election interference charges on First Amendment claims. A judge in Florida also ruled against his motion to throw out charges for his alleged hiding of classified government documents at his Florida estate, Mar-a-Lago, based on his claim of immunity under the Presidential Records Act. How consequential is any of this, Michael?
I don't know that he's in a lawsuit with a porn star, that he's in a lawsuit with stealing federal documents. He shouldn't even be the nominee. The fact that the Republicans still embrace him, and the fact that the American people in polling right now are supporting him, show that it's not hurting him too much. I think that could change over the next couple of months when people start to focus between the binary choice that this is our alternative to Joe Biden.
The one that really seems to be moving forward is New York, the hush money case. But you all have long have said that that's probably the, where he's least exposed.
Well, so Michael Cohen went to jail in part for a Federal Election Commission violation because the porn star payoff was never disclosed on the FEC paperwork, right? I hope that's not the focus of this case in New York. I think they're going to go after him on booking those payments as legal fees and then writing him that off of his taxes. Doesn't seem to me like that's an incarcerating type offense, but we'll see. I've always considered that to be the least effective case. You know, for years, Andy, I've advised my clients to stay away from hush money payments to porn stars. Because typically it doesn't bode well for your political career, but we may be living in a different world.
And the Florida case, it sort of opens the door for him somehow, even though she ruled against him?
She has, Aileen Cannon has really delayed this case. This is the most significant case. It's the most serious case. And it's now the most delayed case, even more so than Georgia.
It's the one that the most politics is being played with. And ultimately, you're going to see the Justice Department have to go to the higher federal court to have this judge
Could
removed.
Could be.
An Israeli airstrike killed 7 aid workers in Gaza. They worked for the World Central Kitchen. This has sparked outrage around the world and ratcheted up pressure on President Biden over U.S. support for Israel in the war with Hamas. Israel has investigated the tragic mistake and relieve those responsible of their duties. But in a call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this week on Thursday, President Biden demanded that Israel conduct the war with greater concern for civilian life in Gaza. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said the level of U.S. support for Israel will change if Israel fails to do something about this. Michael, Hamas terrorists embedded themselves, always do, with civilians to protect themselves. They spark outrage. They get people killed
right.
by hiding out in there. They still have more than 130 hostages in Gaza.
Right.
And they killed 1,200 people in Israel on October 7th in the terror attack that started everything. How can we be worried about Hamas? Why don't people blame Hamas?
Because these people are fish in a barrel right now. And it seems to me that the returning of the hostages seems to have taken second and third seat to President Vladimir Newton's, Netanyahu's issue right there over in Israel. I think the president stands right by saying, hey, look, we're financing this deal. We're paying for it. You were taken and had a terrorist attack. You deserve a right to respond. But it doesn't seem like there's a long-term plan here. And now it's just killing civilians on a daily basis. And it doesn't seem to be much focus on the terrorists. This isn't good for Netanyahu. It's not only not good for him with the United States, he's not popular in his own country right now.
You have this reckless bombing. When something like that happens, should U.S. aid for Israel be unconditional?
Yes. We're the only ally standing here with Israel in the world right now. They are and always are under attack and under assault and in danger from their neighbors. That is the reality they live in. Now, has Benjamin Netanyahu prosecuted this war in a perfect way? No. Is Benjamin Netanyahu pursuing this war partially for his own political benefit? Yes. Is Joe Biden worried about his left flank abandoning him for his support of Israel? Yes. There's more domestic politics going on here. I don't know that any prime minister in Israel would be appreciably doing anything differently to prosecute this war than Netanyahu is right now.
Still to come, our quote of the week with a controversial take on those being prosecuted for their actions on January 6th. And will the defining election issue of 2024 from Florida to Missouri be abortion rights? Our quote of the week is from independent candidate for president Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who weighed in on those being prosecuted for the deadly riots at the U.S. Capitol January 6, 2021. He says that, like many Americans, he's concerned about the possibility that political objectives motivated the vigor of the prosecutions, and that would fit a disturbing pattern of weaponization of government agencies like the FBI and the IRS, John.
Well, he's not going to be elected. But the conventional wisdom is that Kennedy hurts Biden, and that seems to be true in the polling. That kind of rhetoric could affect Donald Trump's support as well.
Did that swing the other way?
It could.
Michael?
Most of the people I hear saying they're for Robert Kennedy aren't people that I usually identify with me. He's lost his mind, and I think those people who support him have lost their way.
Polls have repeatedly shown the border crisis to be the top issue of the 2024 election campaign, but more and more Democrats seem to be buying into the idea that abortion rights will end up being the driving issue come November. The Florida Supreme Court is expected to trigger a ban on abortions there after 6 weeks of pregnancy. A petition drive is well underway to put the issue before voters as a constitutional amendment in November. Sounds a lot like Missouri, Michael Kelly.
Yeah.
Could this turn red states like Florida and Missouri blue?
Well, it could maybe play one in where it's close. Missouri's deep red and probably not going to happen. But abortion is the driving issue. And I got to tell you, the most motivated people I've run into this political season aren't Democrats, aren't Republicans. It's been women out collecting signatures for the legalization of abortion under common sense law. That's a problem for the Republicans.
When push comes to shove in November, will it be abortion over the border, over the economy?
No. But there'll be some turnout intensity on the pro-choice side that will result in some. I don't think it's going to be the defining issue. It will have an effect.
Final thoughts are next. First, Bomarito.com drone fox over baseball heaven, Busch Stadium, downtown St. Louis. Yeah, our boys are back. Michael?
Yeah, if your situation affords it to you to go see the total eclipse tomorrow and total totality, you should go do it. It was a life-changing event for me. I'll be there.
Get your glass.
And last night took me back a quarter of a century to the greatest show on turf. Andy, the Battle Hawks were in town, and how do I know it's the greatest show on turf? It's the same turf. And Andy Banker, the voice of the Battle Hawks. Well done, sir.
Unbelievable. 40,000 people there.
Yes.
Set a record for professional spring football
the
in
turf
the modern
never
day.
Looked, well, it is.
They were loud, and they were proud. That's it for us. Remember, if it's Sunday in St. Louis, it's Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2. We'll see you next week.